Ours being a home in which three quite young men live, we probably have certain programmes that will appear on our television screen that many of you wouldn't give a moment's notice. One such programme is an offering called The Gadget Show. Now, there may well be some who I'm actually surprised to hear watch The Gadget Show. But The Gadget Show is, I wouldn't say compulsory viewing in our home, but keenly watched by certain members of our household. If you don't know anything about The Gadget Show, it's all about introducing to you the very latest in high-tech gadgets and gizmos, most of which we can live perfectly well without, but which everyone must have. And they do all kinds of silly challenges and stunts and all kinds of gimmicks. But one feature of The Gadget Show every single week is there is a competition that you can enter. It's one of those competitions that has a ludicrously simple question to answer, multiple choice. Text in your answer. It'll cost you £1. But on offer, there is a whole package of all the very latest must-haves. Computers, digital phones, digital cameras, electronic toys, you name it, it's on the list, and a whole host of other things beside. Often up to 100 items available, and usually worth something, anything between £15,000 to £25,000 worth. It is actually a very substantial prize on offer every single week. Text in for £1 and see if you can win the lot. Several years ago, there was another quiz that really hit the airwaves big time. It's not on anymore. But when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire first hit the television screens, well, who doesn't want to be a millionaire? Who'd be crazy not to? And so it really took off big style and the franchise went global. You can even buy interactive DVD versions of it to play in your own front room. Sadly, there's no £1 million on offer. You just get to feel good if you win. For others at the moment, the X Factor's the big thing. All these wannabes. What do they want to be? Well, they want to be famous, they want to be rich, they want to be well known, they want to be influential, they want to have what they think is a real credible reputation by fulfilling all their ambitions. What kind of things will you hear them say? This is all I've ever wanted to do. It's all I've ever wanted to be. I can't think of doing or being anything else. Now, programmes like that that are so frequently on our television screens really, in so many ways, kind of sum up the culture of the day, don't they? Those kinds of things just typify the way so many people out there think. They typify the kind of values that they have. They typify the kind of things that are priorities in their own lives. They typify the kind of things that they believe ought to be high on our shopping list. They're the priorities. They're the big things. They're the things that will bring me satisfaction and happiness. They're the things that will make sure that I'm keeping, well, at least keeping up with my neighbour, or with a little bit of luck, nudging me slightly ahead. That's the world around us. I want to talk this evening about the Christian's goal. The Christian's goal, as we come to the end of Matthew chapter 6. I want to consider with you three things this evening that I'm taking from verses 32 and 33 of Matthew chapter 6. One of the points, I'm just taking the words straight off the page of the scripture, and the other two, it's my own paraphrase. But here's number one, and this is based upon what Jesus is teaching as he brings this section of his sermon to a conclusion before he moves on to another subject. And here's the first thing. Don't seek what unbelievers seek. Now, you won't find those exact words written on the page of your Bible. They're not in this version that I've got here. But you see, Jesus does say, therefore, don't worry saying, what shall we eat or drink or wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek. And then verse 33, but for you, you seek this. Don't seek that, seek this. And the clear implication of what Jesus is saying here is don't seek what unbelievers seek. If you've seen any of the Young Apprentice program on television, I'm quoting television programs because much of our culture now is all focused around that box in the corner of our rooms. Well, if you're old-fashioned like me, it's a box in the corner. For some of you, it's probably a frame hanging on your wall. But you know what I'm talking about. But much of our culture is just epitomized in that piece of equipment that we have in our lounges or sometimes in every single room in the house. Young Apprentice, 16 and 17-year-olds looking for an opportunity to be helped in their fledgling business lives by Lord Sugar. If you saw the very first episode in the current series, you'll have seen those teenagers being taken to the house in which they will live whilst they're on the show. And of course, it's this fantastic mansion somewhere in London, and it's all been newly refurbished. They've got the very latest everything. It's just, as you're walking through the door, your chin really does drop to the floor, and you can see these youngsters, wow, they're wide-eyed as they search around the house and look at all the different rooms and everything that's there, wide-eyed. And it was really interesting. Because they then spoke to some of these individuals, 16, 17-year-olds. And what was one of the things in common from all of them? They were looking around this house. This is what it's all about. This is what I want. This is how I want to live. This is living. This is success. This is what will make me feel good. This is what will see me through the rest of life. This is what will make people think well of me. That is what the world seeks. Jesus says to every single Christian, do not seek that which unbelievers seek. That's what Jesus is saying in these closing verses as he summarized this section of his sermon. I've always got my little mobile phone with me. Probably most of you have as well. Many youngsters today, and even some not so young, would rather look down their noses at my rather pathetic little gadget. I've got a mobile phone that actually is just a mobile phone. I can do texts as well. It's got two games on it, and they're not much. And that's just about it, really. What? You mean you can't send and receive emails? You've not got a sat-nav on it? How many apps have you got on your phone? Or my phone doesn't even know what the word app means. Some of you might not know what we're talking about either. My phone is with you. It hasn't got a clue. And you know, some people would look at my pathetic little phone and they would really just look at me aghast. Is that all you can manage? And things that when I was a lad 40 years ago, yes, it's that long, I know you couldn't tell, the things when I was a lad 40 years ago that were literally the stuff of science fiction, today you can't possibly live without it. You'll die. These are the things the world seeks. You can't possibly live without them. Jesus says, to every Christian in every generation, wherever that bar currently is in the generation in which you live, don't seek what unbelievers seek. That's what my Saviour says to me. That's what your Saviour says to you if you're a Christian. Whatever the world out there says, this is what life is all about. Be very, very careful. And make sure you don't seek it. So here's the successful businessman, the very top of his game, and he's surrounded by all the trappings of his achievements. Everything in his vast home is the very best that money can buy. And that's just his first home. He's got his cottage in the Lake District. He's got his villa in the Algarve and all the rest of it. And very often, people will look at men and women like that. The dragons on Dragon's Den. They'll look at them with all their millions, all their influence. And they will say, there's someone who's really made something of themselves. And Jesus says that way of thinking should be completely alien to a child of God. Completely alien to a child of God. If you can look at someone as a Christian who's amassed all these things and say to yourself, there's someone who's really made something of themselves, I want you to bear in mind that Jesus once spoke about that businessman. And God said to that businessman, you, my friend, are the biggest fool in this whole world, because this very night your soul is required of you, and you have done nothing to prepare for that. Don't seek what unbelievers seek, is what Jesus says to all who would follow him. So what are we to do? Well, two things. Number one, and this is point two, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God that we're to seek after, what do we mean? What is the kingdom of God? Well, the Bible describes the kingdom of God as a kingdom of righteousness and a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of righteousness and peace because it's a kingdom which has been established because of the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've sung much this evening of those who have been forgiven all of their sins because of what Christ has done on Calvary. And it's those who've trusted in Christ and been drawn into God's family. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Those upon whom Christ's righteousness has been placed. Those who are living at peace with a holy and just God because of the work of Christ. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And those who are in the kingdom are marked out by certain characteristics. They're people who gladly and willingly live under the rule of God. They gladly submit to him. They live under the headship of Christ. They actually understand that there is one to whom we must give an account. There is one who has given us in his word all kinds of commands and principles and restrictions. And I gladly, gladly submit myself to the word of God. This book that he has given me, that I might live the way he would have me live. That I might live not rejecting and rebelling against him, but actually live in such a way as is pleasing to him. in the power of his Holy Spirit, living my life in obedience to the scriptures. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God, to gladly live under his government and under his rule. And Jesus says, seek those things and improve upon them. And of course, seeking the kingdom of God means not only doing everything that means that I'm increasing in righteousness and increasing in peace and in increasing measure living under God's rule and in increasing measure living under the headship of Christ and in increasing measure living under the scriptures. But it also, of course, means extending God's kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel and everything that that entails. And so this is not only something for me as an individual, it's also something that we're involved in corporately as a local church. It's because that's all part of living under the headship of Christ. It's coming together as a local expression of his body and together worshipping and witnessing to God's glory. And Jesus says, seek first all these things. Make these things your priority. All the way through the Sermon on the Mount, you see, the Lord Jesus is drawing this great distinction, isn't he, between those who are children of God and those who aren't. He's spoken about the need for us to be salt and light in the world. And again, he's going to be pointing out that you're just not the same people anymore. There's a whole world of difference now between you and the unbelieving world out there. There should be this marked distinction between my people and everybody else. And here he sums it up by saying, don't be seeking what unbelievers seek, but seek first the kingdom of God. So you need to be playing your part in a local church, in whatever capacity you can, with whatever gifts God has given you, with whatever abilities you still retain, whatever energies you've still got left. Together, seeking the kingdom of God. In your own personal life, cultivating your relationship with the Lord, cultivating your walk with Christ. These are the things, says the Lord Jesus, that you should be seeking. And, says Jesus, the great thing, thirdly, is if you seek first my kingdom, the rest will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And what Jesus is saying is get your priorities right in life. And all the more mundane things, they'll take care of themselves. You remember Solomon, don't you? And God said, Solomon, you're the king. You're ruling over my people. What's the one thing that you need? What would you ask? And of course, Solomon asks for wisdom, that he might rule over the Lord's people well. And God is so delighted with the answer that this man has given. He says, Solomon, do you know, of all the things that you could have asked for, because you've not asked for those, but you've asked for this, I'm going to give you all those as well. Now, of course, that's not a principle in the Bible that lets us think that, well, if we get it right with God, he's going to turn us into billionaires. We're not all going to be the next Roman Abramovich on the basis of this scripture and looking at the life of Solomon. But you understand what I'm saying. All these other things will be given to you. The Lord will sort out all these other things. The Lord will provide for you if you're living as a Christian with the kind of priorities in your life that God says is a priority. Now, having said all of those things, of course, we could come away with completely the wrong idea. And we could come away with completely the wrong impression. Because you might say, okay, this don't seek what unbelievers seek and seek first the kingdom of God. Well, does this, for example, mean that in my family life at home, that I and my family have to live in complete abject poverty, just completely turning our backs on everything that this world has to offer. Is that what it means? Or you might say, well, what about in my education? Am I not to make the most of any gifts and talents and abilities that God has given me? Or you might say, well, does that mean, therefore, that I shouldn't consider pursuing a career and wanting to make progress in a career? Would that violate this principle of not seeking what unbelievers seek? Well, let's just consider a few practicalities like that as we close. What about in your home? Well, I hope we've seen in our series already that God actually expects us to provide fittingly for our families. I suppose it's perfectly okay to have a comfortable home. You don't need to feel guilty as a Christian for having a comfortable home to live in. You don't need to feel guilty as a Christian for the fact that you feed your children properly. You don't need to feel guilty as a Christian for the fact that you have a car that starts every time sitting on your drive at home. You don't have to feel guilty that your children are neatly and smartly dressed when they go off to school or when they come to church or wherever. You don't have to get a big downer on yourself over all of those things. Because Jesus didn't say you can't have any of those things. What he said is don't seek them the way unbelievers seek them. Don't make those things the be-all and end-all. Don't make those things the priority. Don't make those things the must-haves that everyone else is making the must-have. So once you've provided the necessities that you need for your family, what else do you do? Do you have any money left over? What do you seek with all your leftover lolly, as a certain guy on the TV might say? Do you seek the things that unbelievers seek? Or do you seek the kingdom of God? What about the leisure time that you have? Some of you might say, what leisure time? But any leisure time that you may manage to find, how do you use that leisure time? Do you use that leisure time to seek all the things that unbelievers seek? Or do you use at least a good portion of that time to seek the kingdom of God? What about the energy God has given you? I know a few people feel like they don't have much energy anymore, but we've all got some. What would you put your energies into? Seeking the things that unbelievers seek, or seeking the kingdom of God? What about those of you at university? Studying hard at school? Do these verses permit you still to study hard? If you're good at a particular subject, do it to A level. If you still seem to be good at a subject, go to university, study it there. Maybe a particular vocation that you wish to pursue, and here's the qualifications that you need. I'll go for those qualifications. Is what Jesus teaching here, does it wipe all of that away and say no, no, no to the Christian? Well, you'd be glad to hear it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. If you've got gifts and abilities and talents, develop them. Use them. Be the very best at them that you can, but with them, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what about my career? Well, what about your career? Now, some people don't consider themselves to have a career, they just have a job. Well, whichever way you want to talk about it, whichever word you want to use to describe it, what about your career? Well, what do many unbelievers use a career for? Well, they want to get on in life, don't they? And what does getting on in life mean? Well, it means every year, if you can, Add a few extra figures to your salary, for one thing. Every couple of years, you're going to upsize your house and buy something bigger and better. Hopefully, every time you swap your car, it'll be a bigger and better model than the previous one. And so on, and so on, and so on. And for some people, their career really becomes everything that they live for. Some of you will know people like this. They eat, breathe, sleep their career. It's everything to them. And without it, they'd be completely lost. They'd be broken people. They wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know where to turn. They wouldn't know how to spend their time. So how does this affect me and my career? Well, by all means, have your career. By all means, be good at the thing that you do. Be the best, by all means, at the thing that you do. But in your career, seek first the kingdom of God. And in your career, do everything, absolutely everything, as to the Lord. Make him your priority in your career. Make him your priority in your Make him your priority in your education. In every area of your life, make the Lord the first consideration. And don't seek the things that unbelievers seek. Now, you may have them, but don't seek them. The Lord may bring them. Many of the things that unbelievers have, the Lord may bring into your life. And the Lord may permit you to have them. Enjoy them. You don't need to feel guilty. But seek first the kingdom of God. And this surely will really mark out the Lord's people as being quite distinct and quite unique in the world in which we live. This way of thinking and this way of living will really set us at odds with so many other people that we come into contact with. This way of living will give us so many opportunities to witness and to speak of Christ. This way of living will cause people to stare wide-mouthed at us in wonder and bemusement. And it will often cause people to ask, but why don't you? But why don't you? But why don't you? But why don't you? I used to get asked that quite a few times in my place of work. You don't? But why don't you? Another subject will crop up. You don't? But why don't you? Now, of course, living the Christian life is not all about you. The things we don't do. Heaven forbid. There are many very positive things that should mark us out as Christians as well. There should be a whole host of things that we do do that mark us out as Christians. There should be many things about which people ask, you do do that? You do? You do believe that? So there should be as many you do's as there are you don'ts if we're living right as Christians. Well, whether it's a you don't or whether it's a you do, we should stand out. How are we going to do that? Will we take seriously what Jesus is talking about here? And you ignore the things that all the people out there outside these four walls say are the big thing in life and are the big priority in life. And instead, we make our resolve as the Lord's people together to seek first, his kingdom, his righteousness, exalting Christ, living under his rule, living under his headship, living in accordance with the scriptures, living so gladly and willingly with warmed hearts towards our God and our Saviour. And it's on that basis that Jesus can then say, therefore, don't be worrying about tomorrow. And if we've truly been listening to the voice of Christ as we've made our way through this sermon so far, you really won't worry about tomorrow. If you've actually grasped what it is he's talked about, and if you understood what it is he's saying, don't be worrying about tomorrow. And if your great priority in life is seeking first God's kingdom, you won't worry about tomorrow. Not the way the world does. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Rest in the Lord as the people of God that you really are. Rest in the love and comfort and provision of your Heavenly Father as the children of God that you really are. Don't allow yourself to get manacled and shackled and chained by all that the world would say you should have and be and do. Be God's people. Live God's way. Enjoy God's provision and grace day by day. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself under God's grace and provision. And may we all know what it is to live in such a way as that. And we can say, as we've sung, it is well with my soul. Well, may the Lord help us to understand his word and to apply it into our lives day by day.